Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
For those of us who are joining us today, we are on week three of a series that we've called The Ghosts of Christmas Past. And the first week we talked about overcoming offense. Overcoming offense. Those are sometimes the things that haunt us, things that people have done to us, how they've hurt us and wounded us. And we talked about how you can overcome them and not be held in bondage to them. Last week, we talked about shame and how God wants to set you free from shame. And I had heard many responses of people that were experiencing shame in their life, didn't realize it, or they knew it, and they needed to hear that message. Today, we're going to talk about labels. Being liberated from labels, things that people have called us, things that people have said about us, or maybe even things that we have said about ourselves, and then those things we've allowed them to define us, to define our identity and who we are. Because what we don't realize is that these labels, these words are powerful. How many know that? When I was a kid, there was a saying, I'm not sure if they still say it today, but sticks and stones. How many know that? If you know it, I want you to say it with me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, that has to be one of the stupidest things that was ever devised in all of human history. We say that, but you and I both know that the words that people say are powerful. They have the power to create, to heal, to shape, to mold us, to lift us up, to build us up, to motivate us. But at the same time, they have the power to hurt. They have the power to wound, to discourage, to put down, and even destroy us. That's the power of words. And Proverbs 18:21 tells us about the reality of our words. It's listed on your outline on the back of your bulletin this morning in the sermon section. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the truth is, when you hear something over and over and over and over, it becomes part of you. If it's something positive, if it's something good, then you believe in yourself. But if it's something negative, if it's something bad, then you believe in that, and that makes it part of yourself. And so the words that we say, we need to realize, carry the power of life and death. They may cause someone to physically hang on another life, or to let go of their life. Or maybe it's not a physical life. Maybe it's emotional life. Maybe it's relational life. Maybe it's spiritual life. I've known stories of young people. They were in church and someone said something hurtful to them. And they said, if that's the way Christians are, I want none of this God thing. And they walk out and they walk away from God. That caused spiritual death in their life, the words we say. So our words are so very, very powerful. Death and life truly are in the power of the tongue. And maybe this morning you're here and somebody has said something to you at one time, and you've internalized it, and it's become part of your identity. Not in a good way, but in a bad way. Maybe these are some of the labels that you've heard. Maybe you've owned the label lazy. You're just lazy. You don't do anything. Maybe some of you have picked that up. For others of you, you're average. You're just an average student. You're not really going to amount to much. You're not going to amount to anything. I heard a statistic that said 50% of CEOs in Fortune 500 corporations were C students or worse, okay? 50%. Now, that maybe describes why so many corporations are in bad, you know, bad shape today. But here's the thing. Don't let your education define who you are, because it's not what you know. It's how you relate to people, how you treat people that really determine your success. But sometimes we get a label, you're just average, and we own it, and it causes us to be limited. Or maybe you're insecure. Maybe you're hot-headed. You lose your cool all the time. You're overly sensitive. You're annoying. You're pathetic. You're an emotional cripple. You're always bad at relationships. Maybe it's someone says you're just too much. And you say, well, too much what? Well, whatever it is, you're just too excitable, too energetic. You just need to dial it back a bit. Or you're too much this, too much that. You just don't be so intense about whatever it is that you're too much in. And these labels can fall on us, and they warp and destroy our image, and they can limit us from the destiny that God has in store for us. God has plans. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans. There's things he wants us to do. Ephesians 3:23, he says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. We can't imagine the plans God has for the body of Christ, for you and I, but labels can so many times limit us. And God wants us to be liberated from the labels so that we can go to the next level for his kingdom power and influence around us. In your notes, because here's the thing, sometimes you might say, well, this is true about me, or there's a grain of truth. A lot of times when people say something, there is a grain of truth to it. But here's the thing, you don't have to stay where you're at. In your notes, what's true about you now doesn't have to be true about you later. How many realize that? What's true about you now doesn't have to be true about you later. God's power is bigger than your past. Just because your family always has been dysfunctional doesn't mean it has to be dysfunctional in the future. It can become healthy. God can help you overcome the labels that you're owning, whether it's in a family, whether it's in your own person, your own individual, or your marriage or in some other relationship. You don't have to be bound by your past label. All things are possible with God. God defies the odds. He can change you. He can help you. He can help you grow and become, break out of the label. Even if it's part of your identity now, you can be changed. I want to encourage you this morning, if you've been labeled something, to name it something different. Okay? Name it something different. We're going to see an example of this in Genesis chapter 35. You can go ahead and turn there this morning. Genesis chapter 35, and it's the story of Jacob. It's a story of Jacob and Rachel, and really, it's kind of I give you a background up to this event. I want to share a love story between Jacob and Rachel. Jacob met this girl, Rachel, and just fell head over heels in love with her, okay? And he went to her father and said, I'll work for you for 7 years so I can marry your daughter. And the dad said, that's a good deal. Now, here's the thing. Rachel had a sister, and her name was Leah. Now, when you're comparing the two girls, there is a difference between them, and we see this. The Bible describes them both. It says Leah had weak eyes. Okay, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Now, we're not sure what it means when it says Leah had weak eyes. Some commentators say that means she was cross-eyed, or she had a droopy eye, or maybe she was hard on the eyes to look at. They're not really sure what it means, but when it has that conjunction, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in figure and in appearance. They're saying she was a fox. She was a model. She was a babe. Leah, in the Hebrew, it says she had a great personality, okay? That's what it says in the Hebrew, all right? Leah had a great personality, but Rachel, woo! And Jacob, he wasn't so big on Leah, but yeah, he did like Rachel. Rachel was the younger sister, and here's the thing. When it came time for the wedding after 7 years, Rachel's dad pulled a switcheroo. And he gave him Leah, and they wore the veils back then. Remember, they wore veils, so you didn't see your bride. And so he marries her. They go on the honeymoon. It's dark. He wakes up in the morning, and this isn't Rachel. This isn't who I worked for. And so he's mad and upset. He goes to his father-in-law. He says, well, work another 7 years, and you can have Rachel. Wait a week, do your honeymoon week with Leah, and then I'll give you Rachel if you work another 7 years. So he made the deal. So he now has sister wives, and this is what takes place. Leah begins to have a lot of babies, and Rachel can't conceive. And they know it's not Jacob's problem because Rachel's just, you know, she's kicking out kids like rabbits, all right? She's having kids, and Rachel can't have any kids, and so it's a very, very difficult time. And finally, after years, she gives birth and has a son. His name is Joseph. We talked about Joseph a couple of weeks ago in Overcoming Offense. And now you can kind of see if Joseph is the only son of the beloved Rachel and all the other kids were not, but you can see why those kids hated Joseph so much. You can go back and listen a couple weeks ago message if you missed it. But Joseph is the favored son, and after a few years, Rachel says, I want another one. And so she gets pregnant again, and she has this son, and we're going to read about it now in Genesis 35, and really, it's a tragic story when you read about it, because we're told in the NIV, verse 16, I'm going to pick it up in verse 16, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. We're going to see this description, great difficulty, repeated twice. We don't know what was going on, but whatever it was, she was having this difficulty, and they lived in a day and age when there were no cesarean sections. So if the mom's life is in danger, it's not like we can hurry up, cut open the stomach, take the baby out of the womb and save both the wife, the mom and the child. They didn't have that back then. And so the result is that in verse 17, she's having great difficulty in childbirth. We see it again. And the midwife says to her, and this is supposed to comfort her, don't despair, for you have another son. And now, verse 18. This is the sad part. She senses her life slipping away. She knows death is imminent. It's knocking at the door. And as she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. I want you to think about this. She's breathing her last. They put the little boy in her arms, and she's looking at him. And she says, your name is Ben-Oni. That's the thing that's on her mind, because she's thinking, I'm never going to see him take his first steps. I'm never going to see my little boy grow up. I'm never going to see him run. I'm never going to see him get married. I'm never going to see his grandkids. This is Ben-Oni, and Ben-Oni means son of my sorrow. Son of my sorrow. And she's naming him, you are son of my sorrow. And I want you to think of having that name, having that label. You walk through life, and everywhere you go, son of my sorrow, son of my sorrow, son of my sadness, son of my tragedy. I mean, how many of you would like to have a name like that? You know, you need to research what the name of your kids mean. Names are important. What you call your kids is very important. And she named him Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. Now, Jacob was going to rename his son. Jacob knew what it was like to be labeled with a negative name, because the name Jacob itself, it means deceiver. It actually means heel catcher. And here's the thing. Jacob was a fraternal twin. When he was born, his older brother Esau was born first. And when Esau comes out, baby Jacob is grabbing onto his heel. He's trying to pull him back inside the womb so he can be the firstborn and get all the blessing. Now, honestly, I don't remember much, really. I don't remember anything about when I was born. There's not much consciousness there. How Jacob knew how to do that, I don't know. But here's the thing. That's what he did, and his parents called him heel catcher. That's what it means. Someone who's trying to trip you up. Someone who's trying to pull you back. It meant a deceiver, a cheater, a liar. And so Jacob, can you imagine that? Cheater, hurry up. You're going to be late for school. Liar, did you take the trash out yet? You know, deceiver, have you made your bed? You know, it's time to walk the dog. Time to pick up the dog poop, cheater. How would you like to go through life with that name? And here's the thing. Jacob knew what it was like to be labeled something very negative, something very destructive. And later in his life, he has a meeting with God, and he wrestles with an angel of God. It turns out to be God himself. He wrestles with God all night long, and he prevails with God. And so the angel says to him, God says to him, I'm changing your name. He says, what is your name? He wanted him to own it, to know what the label was. He said, Deceiver. It's Jacob. And he says, your name's no longer Deceiver. Your name is Israel. And Israel means one who prevails, one who has power like a prince of God. And he says, no longer are you a cheat. No longer are you deceptive. No longer are you a liar. No longer do you try to trip people up. Now you're a prince of God. You're one who prevails with power. You are an overcomer. That's what God renamed him. And Jacob, he says, this place I'm at, he says, I'm going to call this place Peniel, which means I've met God face to face and I've lived. He renames something that had been a bad place and he renames it himself. A few weeks ago when we did our house series, we talked about Bethel, the house of God. He renamed Luz Bethel, which means house of God. Jacob has this. He realizes just because something is that way now, it doesn't always have to be that way through the power and the grace and the mercy of God. It can change and become a pivot point for something powerful in the destiny of God in one's life. And now when Rachel is dying and she says, you're going to be my son of sorrow, Jacob is looking at this little boy and he says, no, he's not. I know what it's like to grow up having a name that just weighs you down, that makes you feel like you're nothing. No, he's not going to be a son of sorrow. He's going to be Benjamin. And Benjamin symbolically means son of blessing and son of strength. Because it was the right hand. Benjamin means son of my right hand. And the right hand is the strong arm. For how many righties do we have in here? So typically when you talk about your right hand man, it means my strong man, the one who's on the right, the one who's helping me. It's strength, but it was also the hand that blessing was given. When you read about Joseph and his sons, how Jacob stretches out his right hand and he crosses over to the left hand. Joseph says, no, you got to bless my older son. Jacob says, no, I'm going to bless your younger son. God's told me he's got this destiny on him. So now Jacob is saying, this is the son of blessing. In what would be a tragic moment, what would be so much sorrow in my life, what people would say, that was destructive, that destroyed you, this is sorrowful. No, he's a blessing. In a moment that was supposed to just crush me and defeat me and make me weak, he's the son of my strength. God is with me. I've got strength in this. And so Jacob calls something not what it is, but he renames it something else. And this morning, there may be events, there may be things that have happened to you or that are happening to you right now that they're negative, and you want to say, this is bad, this is a time of sorrow, and God says, no, this is a time of strength and of blessing. So many times when we're walking through a difficult time, God takes it. He works all things together for good, and he turns it around, and he changes it into something of blessing and something that gives us strength. In your notes this morning, this is the main thing. This is so important. I want you to write this down. You don't get to choose what comes into your life. How many know that? You don't get to choose what comes into your life. It'd be nice if we could, huh? I was at a Christmas party, and we were playing a game, and one of the games was, name a typical gift men receive at Christmas. And they said, a car. I mean, how many of you men would like to call that in your life for Christmas, huh? And not a Matchbox car or a Hot Wheel. No, no, the real thing, you know. I says, I've never got that for Christmas. But no, you don't get to choose what comes into your life, but you do get to choose what you call it. Did you catch that? You don't get to choose what comes in your life, but you do get to choose what you call it. And even though it was named something else, Jacob changed it. Jacob had a name, but God changed it. And here's the thing. Jacob as a father, he changed the son of sorrow to son of blessing and strength. Your heavenly Father this morning, He is here, and he wants to speak over your life, and he wants to change something of sorrow, something that's of defeat, something that is stealing an identity, a victory, a destiny from you, and he wants to name it something else. Don't let labels limit you. Don't be haunted by a ghost of Christmas past. Somewhere, sometime, someone said something to you. Something happened and you owned it and you took that on yourself. I am a failure. I'm average. I'm lazy. I'm ugly. Whatever is that label, name it something else. You can't choose what comes into your life, but you can choose what you will call it. And you have a choice today. What are you going to call those negative labels in your life and allow Jesus Christ through his power and his grace to turn it around? People called the death of Christ a failure, right? But God defies the odds. And through the power and the grace of God, he turned what was a failure into a success. 3 days later, the Son of God rose from the dead. You don't have to be limited by your past. Allow God to set you free. I know a pastor who became a Christian in college. And he had lived a really wild lifestyle. You could say the first year and a half, he majored in partying. He was just a major partier, but he came to Christ, and God radically saved him, radically changed him. And as soon as he was saved, he felt called to be a pastor. But he was majoring in business. He didn't think to change to religion. He got his major in business, but he couldn't find a place to pastor because he really wasn't equipped for it, anything like that. And he was going to church, being faithful. And one Sunday, his pastor had a bring your friend to church Sunday, okay? That's kind of what next week is. Bring your friends to church on Christmas. Bring it for the Christmas service. And so on this Sunday, he invited and brought to church 17 of his friends. 17 of his friends he brought to church. And the pastor saw him bring 17, and he said to his staff, he says, I don't know who that guy is, but hire him as a pastor, okay? We got to mentor this guy. So they brought him in. They began mentoring him and stuff. And one day, it hits this pastor, man, my wild life, my party life, the things I did, if they find out about it, no one's going to trust me with the way I lived before. No one's going to respect me. So he goes to a senior pastor and he confesses to him, man, I did all this stuff. Man, no way no one's going to trust me. No one's going to respect me. I mean, I'm a failure. I can't do anything in ministry. And his pastor said to him, you know, that's one way you can look at it. Or you can look at it this way. That you know the power of God and how it can change a person's life in a 180-degree direction. And you can relate to those people who are in that lifestyle as opposed to someone who hasn't been in that lifestyle and they can't understand him. And you can tell them there is hope. God can change you. He can take what was old, it has passed away, and all things have become new. You can name it something different. So he took what was a liability and he said, it is now an asset. It is going to help me to minister to the broken and the lost people. And friends, we have to take a look at the negative things in our life, the things that have happened, the labels people have given us, and say, no, through the grace and the power of God, all things become new. I am a new creation in Christ. That label's not on me. That old label is gone. This is who I am. This is who my Father says I am. And we can be liberated from the negative labels that have held us down from so long. If you don't like a label you've been given, call it something else. Name it something else. Some of you, you've been owning a label for way too long. You've been owning a label. Some of you, someone's called you insecure, and you've identified with that, man, I can't do anything. Friends, you need to say, I'm confident in Christ. I can do 50% of the things through Christ Jesus. Is that what the word says? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's no reason to be insecure because the Creator God who lives in you, He wants to empower you and give you power and ability to activate the gifts He's given you so that you can do all things and you can live in confidence. Someone says, well, you're just lazy. And you can say, well, no, I'm not. I've been transformed. I'm transformed. I can, through the power of God, I can wake up in the morning and I can have a purpose, I can have meaning to life, and I can do what God wants me to do. I'm not lazy. Some of you, you say, well, I'm just always miserable. I see the glass half empty. It's not half full, it's half empty. You might be here today, but you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it says there is fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. Now, here's the thing. If you're a Christian, Jesus lives in you, doesn't he? Emmanuel, God with us. So you have the presence of God within you. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ lives in you. So there is fullness of joy in his presence. If you have the presence of God, what do you have? Well, not just joy, fullness of joy. So you take that and you say, I am not miserable. I'm not, you know, down in the molly grubs. I'm not Mr. Negative. I am full of joy because Jesus is in me. That's what the Word of God says. And so you're calling it something different. And the devil tries to bring the label back, but you take what the Word of God says about you and you appropriate it to your life. You say, well, I'm undependable. I'm a loser. I'm a cheater. I'm a failure. No, you're forgiven. You've been transformed. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. He forgives you of your sins and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And now, therefore, you're a new creation in Christ. The old things, they've passed away. You're new. You're not stuck in that old lifestyle. You say, man, life is so tough right now. It's so bad. I'm just walking through this really tough season. But God says he works all things together for good. So this tough season is not tough. This season is making me stronger. This is a season where I am becoming what God wants me to be. I am being conformed to the image of Christ. And it is so easy for us to own the negative label instead of to name it something different through the power and the grace of God to transform it to what he wants. Some of you this Christmas season, you feel so alone. Maybe there's been a death or a divorce, or you're just far away from family and you feel so alone. You don't have to own that label of lonely, because Christ's presence is with you, Emmanuel. And it says that he is near to the brokenhearted. He binds up the... God is near to you. In fact, he's nearer to you when you feel lonely than any other time. And you can say, I'm closer to God now than I've ever been. His presence hasn't changed. He's with me. I'm not alone. Change the label. Some of you have said, I'm a failure. You're not a failure. Remember growing up, heard someone say, God don't make junk. He doesn't. You're a masterpiece. We, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are created in Christ Jesus for good work. You are a master. We are his workmanship. The master has made you. You're not a failure. You're not a piece of junk. You're not worthless. You're a masterpiece. Live in the identity who God says. I don't know what label you have in your life, but the reality is today your enemy is trying to beat you up and beat you down and make you feel just like you can't do anything for God. And God wants his body to be victorious. He wants us to walk in victory, to be overcomers, to live the destiny God created us, for us to be the head and not the tail, for us to be the light of the world that's not hidden and scared under a bushel of darkness, hiding and cowering in fear. He wants us to be warriors for him in this society, because society needs Jesus. And today, God wants to set you free from the labels that are limiting you.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.